Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, October 3rd, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Say, do you realize that it's been nearly 2 months since we've had an episode of the Erotic Mind series? Well, it has been that long, and frankly, I'm over here experiencing some withdrawal symptoms, and it ain't pretty. Luckily, I have only a few more moments to wait for my next fix, because I have the pleasure of welcoming an internationally renowned artist, illustrator, and cartoonist to the show. But first, let's mosey on down to West Hollywood, California, shall we, and look in on Michael Derry, where he is busy creating his latest installment of his beloved Troy comic series. Michael has also generously compiled a delightful slideshow of some of his outstanding work to accompany today's show. You'll find the slideshow with today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. For more of Michael and his tune, Troy, visit him on his site, troycomics.com. And for all of Michael's other artistic endeavors, see his other site, Derry Products. That's DERRYproducts.com. And of course, you can find him on Facebook and Twitter, too. Today's show is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin, and trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It is phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for the banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com, visit their site, buy a product, you'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Michael, and thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled to have this time to chat with you. I love your brilliantly funny comics and illustrations, and I'm so happy that you're here to open and share your amazing erotic mind with us. So, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello to the nice people.
And they are nice, too. Of course, there are some not-so-nice pervert people out there, too. Okay. And you should probably say
and hello to
them.
Them, too. Hello to all you pervert people as well.
That's right, because I consider myself one of them, and they are my most dedicated audience.
Excellent.
So listen, I confess to being spending way too much time on your site, troycomics.com, and I believe that I'm single-handedly burning up all of your bandwidth. I have been back reading all of the Troy comics, and I am loving it. So,
thank you.
Good. So you've been doing this for 10-plus years, right?
Yeah, since 1998.
Holy cow. You're like an institution.
A little bit.
Or you should be institutionalized or something like that.
Yeah, definitely, yes. I have some ex-boyfriends who can
testify to that.
Testify to that.
Yay!
Yes.
I'll be talking to them later.
No, you will not.
So, I love the subtitle: Love, Sex, Politics, Religion, and Killer Abs. That's so West Hollywood.
A little bit.
Your
earlier. Well, I try to put in just everything and anything, you know, whatever I'm thinking about, whatever, you know, comes to mind. I mean, you know, there's definitely sex in there. The characters all experience, you know, love and relationships. It's not just sex. And then, I don't think you can be gay in this world and not have to confront some, you know, bigotry as far as like in politics or religion. And you cannot live in West Hollywood without a gym membership. So it's all there.
So you actually don't shy away from those topics like religion and politics, which most everybody thinks are taboo topics for today's culture.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, especially, you know, with the way that I have found that you know, the right wing comes after gays and just blames us for like everything, and including hurricanes and earthquakes.
I mean, I know,
a little ridiculous. So how can you not? How can you not hit back?
It's so true. I mean, it's ludicrous. If and it would be funny if it wasn't so hurtful to a lot of people, for sure.
And you know, maybe you think it's odd, but I get the most positive feedback when I do address those kinds of issues and stories in the cartoon. So I mean, it's not, you know, it's not really. I'm encouraged to do that.
Right. So your earlier strips are collected in a series of books. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I have 5 books because, you know, the thing's been going on for, 13 years now.
Uh-huh.
So I've collected them all, and there's 5 books, and they're 50. You know, each one is, 50. So the first one is, 1 to 50, and then 51 to 100, you know, that way.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's just the collection of the stories, you know, and there's you know, a little foreword or some interview or whatever, a little extra stuff in there as well. But, you know, it's the cartoons for, you know, anybody who wants to keep them around or look at them again.
Right. And do you publish these yourself, or are they published by someone else? And we can buy them on your site, right?
Yeah, you can get them on the site. There's a link that says Troy Stuff for Sale, and there's books and prints and stuff. But I'm also just converting them into ebooks as well. So.
No kidding, good for you.
Yeah.
The thing to do, don't you know?
Yeah. So you know, hopefully in a couple of weeks you'll be able to get them, you know, to download for whatever, you know, iPad or Android or whatever.
Right. So they're all in color.
Yeah.
Were they not in color when you first produced them?
Well, first the first magazine that I did the cartoon for was in color. So, and well, oddly enough, though, I didn't do the color for it. I just drew the pictures, and they had somebody else did the color.
No kidding. Interesting.
Yeah, that he was the, gosh, I don't remember what his title was, but anyway, he colored them.
The colorator.
Well, I mean, at the time, I didn't know how to turn on a computer, let alone, you know.
Oh, no kidding.
All.
Really?
So I would draw them, you know, in pen and ink, you know, on paper, and then just hand them in, and they'd be like, oh, well, here, we can colorize them in, Photoshop. And I was like, ooh, how do you do that? And, you know, he wouldn't show me because I think, you know, he was like, fuck you, it's my job, bitch. So I eventually learned how to do it. And so then after that magazine, I think it lasted about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And when that one went under, another magazine picked me up, but they were just in black and white. So I just did, you know, for the next year or so, they were just in black and white. So when I was creating the books, and, you know, especially for the ebooks, I thought, well, I will take those old black and white strips and colorize them again. So
cool.
I did that.
Are these, they are syndicated, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Are these weekly or monthly?
It's every other week, because I think the vast majority of the gay papers were every other week.
Right.
So that's just, you know, that's when they wanted it. So that's how often I did it.
Right. So
it's often I think I have way more stories to tell than I have, you know, time for.
Right.
So that's always kind of been, you know, I have this Word document that I'm constantly adding to.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while I'll go through that and be like, oh, well, that one never happened, or, you know, so there's just this constant notebook full of things. Well, this could happen, but it just, you know, whatever makes it in, most of it has to do with, you know, you have this much space to tell your little story, and it, you know, has to be, you know, kind of cute, or, you know, if not laugh out loud funny, it has to be, you know, somewhat humorous.
Right.
And you still want to, like, tell a story that, you know, kind of makes sense, even if you don't know the whole backstory.
And it has to be timely, too, it seems to me. I mean, you couldn't dredge up stuff, you know, from a couple years ago and start, you know, making that part of your story today, it doesn't seem to me.
Exactly.
So, Troy is syndicated in several LGBT news magazines and all over the world, I'm gathering, and on a very popular website. So, tell us more about the website, the other magazines, perhaps, and how did you get these gigs in the first place?
Well, the website, the 365gay.com, is actually closing down this week. So I know, right? It's been... they've been publishing it for almost 10 years, around 10 years. I was kind of looking through, like, my old emails to just find out how long they have been around. And I think the earliest email I had from them was, like, 2004 or something. But I know they started syndicating the strip long before that. I mean, it was, like, I think it was, like, in 2000 or 2001 or something.
Yeah. It's funny because I've had the same experience with Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. You know, my Sex Advice column has appeared on numerous websites. It originally started on gay.com, interestingly enough.
Oh, right on.
When gay.com was this little tiny hole-in-the-wall thing in south of Market in San Francisco. And then, you know, sites would pick it up, and then they'd close. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's the nature of the Internet, it seems to me. I mean, anything that lasts for more than a couple of years is, like, granddaddies.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, then it sort of got picked up by Rob Sands. He's the one who started it. I don't know how he found me, but he saw me online or something. I don't know. And he said that, you know, your cartoons are hysterical. You know, I want to put you on the site. And it just sort of... At first, people just kind of found me and came to me, like, right. You know, editors and publishers would be, you know, I stayed up all night reading your comics and laughed myself silly, and so, you know, we want to run you. But I got to tell you, in, like, the last couple of years, most of those papers are no more. They're just gone. And it's kind of, you know, it's a little sad, you know, but, hell, it's very sad.
It is very sad. I agree with you.
Yeah, because... Well, personally, for me, it's, you know, I would get a check every time somebody would run it.
Mm-hmm.
But also just because, you know, they're all, you know, all these little voices are going away.
That's true.
So it's, you know, and it's, and then, you know, 365 Gay got bought by Logo in, like, 2006. And then they started, you know, like, telling me, you know, you can't say that, or, you know, could you reword this a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just sort of like, you know, the big guy comes along and eats up the little guy, and, you know, you kind of get homogenized a bit.
Right. Which brings me to my next question. And do you find that you have to censor yourself to appeal to a larger audience or to have a larger audience?
You know, sometimes yes. But, you know, specifically, you know, they had a few, you know, like, how can I say this? It wasn't like I was drawing anything that was offensive. It was just the way I would describe certain things. They were like, oh, wow, that paints a real clear picture. And so I was like,
so
oh,
your words,
okay,
actually,
fine.
It was words and not images, interestingly enough.
Yeah, yeah. That one, then it was specifically, gosh, which one was it? It was something about how, and this actually, like, we just, this came, like, right out of my life. We were at this little coffee house in West Hollywood, and it was, like, you know, packed with, like, gay guys, right? In the middle of, like, a Saturday afternoon or something. And right in the middle of the coffee house was this guy at his laptop, and he was on, like, Manhunt or something. And, you know, I'm standing in line at the coffee house at, like, 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It's, like, packed full of people. And I turn over, and there's, like, you know, just, like, full-on cock, like, on this guy's laptop. And I was like, oh, my God. I was just, like, talking about not being shy. Wow. And then I thought, you're on Manhunt. Dude, look around you. There's like 50 guys in here. What the
That's
hell?
That's right. I know. Isn't that funny?
I wrote about that and you know, what they were seeing and the way that they were kind of like, you know, joking around like, oh, aren't you, you know, the brave soul who's not, you know, putting it out there and stuff. And they were just like talking about, you know, how, well, hell, you know, used to have to do this at home. Mm-hmm. You know, in the dark, in the closet, but now, you know, we're out,
bring
we're out,
right,
you know,
to the coffee shop.
Right, so I just, you know, I was just being absolutely ridiculous, and the editor was like, okay, because what, and I thought, well, that's so funny, because the only thing you actually see in the cartoon is, like, the back of the guy's computer, so you're not even seeing what he's looking at.
They're just
talking about it, and she's like, wow, that's real graphic. And I was like, okay, fine. I can, you know, and honestly, I didn't have a problem, like, you know, toning it down a little bit, because for the papers, they ran the original version.
Yeah. It's funny, because I've gotten that from people who have syndicated my column, too. Said, oh, you can't use that word.
Yeah, why?
What? It's about, this is a sex advice column. What do you mean
I
can't use that word? What are you, nuts? People talk like this all the time, even kids. This is a I've had gay publishers of gay paper say, you know, this is a family newspaper. I said, it's a family newspaper, it's a gay paper, you nuts.
Oh, the children, for the love of God, think of the children.
Exactly. Oh, well, so the trials and tribulations of syndication. So correct me if I'm wrong, but your strip never really features genitals, either soft or hard, and lots of sexual situations, beautiful butts, but no cocks. Why is that? I mean, besides what you've already said.
Yeah, no reason, honestly. It just,
do you know how to draw a penis?
Yeah. I did take life drawing. I have drawn penis before.
Oh,
I just thought I was kind of using like the standards that you would see like on like Sex and the City I don't know. It just didn't seem like
you don't really need
it. I always thought it would be like, I don't know, I guess it's more, you know, coy or like teasing if you know, show everything. I just thought it's a little cuter. It's a little, you know, it's just a little more playful, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, I don't just like, I just kind of think it's a little funnier or cuter or, you know.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And that's why, you know, I know that you were concerned that your work may not be a good fit for this Erotic Mind series because it isn't erotic, and I put that in quotes, in the same way that some of my other guests' work is erotic. But I think, you know, your stuff is really wonderfully erotic, and the beautiful part about eroticism is that it is on a spectrum, right?
Yes, yes. And like we were talking about how, like, the what is erotic, it's more between your ears than between your legs. I mean, that's, I guess, the way I think of it.
And especially
it's like
if it's
anything
suggestive.
Can be erotic.
Yeah.
Anything can be. I mean, depending on what your particular tastes are, you know, you can eroticize a you know, a leaf.
It's true enough.
You know, Georgie O'Keefe eroticized, you know, flowers.
Exactly that. Yeah.
So, yeah, anything can be erotic. I think it's more, you know, just the way you look at the world, the viewer, anyone.
So do you ever wish that you could cut loose and draw big old fat dicks waving around in the air and like so many of your associates do? Hey, maybe you do this already, but it's part of a private, less public gallery.
I've had like ideas for stuff, but I've just never felt the need to go there.
Uh-huh.
It's just not my style, I guess.
Okay, good. So Troy is set in a slightly fictional version of West Hollywood, California, quite possibly the gayest little city in North America. Is that why all of your characters are so perky and buff and tan and adorable?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly that.
yes.
Because if you were drawing it in Seattle, they would all be, you know, pasty white.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just sort of they're the idealized version of the people I know. I mean, most of the, you know, my friends are pretty fit. I mean, not as ridiculously fit as these guys all the time. I mean, come on. But, you know, if you've ever been to, you know, West Hollywood or, you know, New York or Miami, you know, the gay guys in the bigger cities have a tendency to be a little more shallow, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of the way I like to draw a guy.
Let's be honest and shame the devil.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it's reflective of you know, what I see, but idealized a little bit.
Is any of Troy autobiographical?
Yeah, it's all pretty autobiographical.
Basically, the long and the short of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I make some of it up and I exaggerate, but a lot of it comes, you know, like the story about the, you know, the coffee shop. It comes, a lot of it is just literally right there. And when I first started drawing it, it was just like, I didn't really change much at all. It was just sort of like, they were like, well, can, you know, I went to this magazine and, you know, they were looking for illustrators and they said, well, do you like gay comics? And I was like, no. And they're like, well, could you do a gay comic? And I thought, well, sure, I'll start come up with something. And so, you know, that night I just went home and thought about, okay, what happened to me that I could write about that's kind of funny? And I like literally just took a few things that happened and just, you know, color, you know, made it look cute.
Yeah.
And that was that. So, you know, you write what you know. I think all artists and writers do that.
Oh, we touched on this just moments ago, but I want to ask you for further thoughts if you have any. Other artists in this series have spoken about the intimacy and immediacy of their work. They feel like they can express what's going on with them and what's going on in their lives and in their world. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, I would say yes, because it's, you know, it's just me. I don't have to wait around for anybody else to, you know, contribute their part.
Right.
Like right now I'm finishing up an animated movie, a Troy movie, and it's taken so long just because, you know, we have to work around other people's schedules, you know, with, you know, different actors, and then we have to, you know, the editor and the sound guy, everybody has their own, you know, timeline, whereas, and that, you know, that was kind of, it's a little, like, frustrating to me because I'm used to, like, okay, when I need, you know, when I want to get something done, I just, you know, I sit down and I get it done.
Right.
I don't have to wait for anyone else. You know, I don't have to wait for anybody else.
Right.
But, so, yeah, you know, in doing, like, the cartoon and stuff, it's all just whenever I can get it down. So, I guess, yeah, it would be very immediate.
So, do you draw women characters, too? I think I saw them on the front page of your site. They're as buff as the men, don't they?
No. Oh God, I try. there's a couple regular women, but like again, and the thing is mostly about the guys, and if, like I said, if I had more time, I could, you know, write more, you know, with more characters. But sometimes it's just like, okay, I have to write these, you know, three main characters and just try to stick with that.
Right. But besides, your audience needs to be able to follow it, and if you keep introducing new characters every 15 minutes, it's hard to have that cast of characters. Although you do on your site have, you know, the cast of characters, which was very helpful.
Yes, yeah. I put it up there, you know, like who's who, and you can click on it and then you can read a little biography and you can get caught right up. So
cool. I'd love your other site, dairyproducts.com. I can't get enough of the bodacious cocktail sipping bovines rocking out to the soundtrack. How did you come up with this concept?
That I kind of actually stole that idea.
Did ya? I love it.
The editor, again, like Bent Magazine is the first magazine that I worked at in 98 when I first moved to LA, and they're the ones that, you know, said, hey, can you draw, you know, gay comics and stuff. So I was actually working on staff there, and I started doing, you know, the cartoon there as well as, you know, other illustrations. And, you know, my stuff is pretty goofy, no matter, you know, if it's like, you know, half-naked gay boys or, you know, cows, whatever. It's all pretty silly. And the editor said, hey, if you ever put out a book, you should call it Dairy Products. And I was like, that's pretty funny, actually. And so when I was putting together my website, I was like, well, what's my web domain going to be named? And I said, Dairy Product. Let's see if, you know, see if it's available. And it was. So I snatched it up.
Cool beans.
And originally I had, like, there was, you know, these two, like, real sort of cow. Well, they were cartoons, but they were, you know, on all fours in the field, like, chewing their grass. And this other one comes flying along in a purple tutu, like, dancing ballet and, like, you know, falls over them. And, you know, it's very, like, Warner Brothers goofy. And so I had that kind of going on, and it was all like, you know, my last name is Dairy, so people out, you know, always called me like Dairy Queen or this or that, Dairy Cow, and so it's just sort of like a big fuck you to all those little bitches in high school, or in grade school.
Right. Right. So this is basically a site to showcase your many talents: illustration, design, animation, and voiceover.
Yeah, that's how I try to get some work.
So, what do you say? Take us on a little tour and tell us about each of these artistic endeavors of yours.
Okay. What do you want to start with?
Illustration.
I guess that's my main bread and butter.
And that's where Troy fits in, yes? But he's just characters that you do.
Yes. I mean, well, he's been around the longest, and I've got, you know, the most work out of him. But, you know, a lot of my work is like, I'll do, you know, character designs for a show or something like that, or a commercial, or, you know, for an ad campaign, stuff like that.
So you're doing some mainstream stuff along with your more erotic things.
Yes.
Good.
Uh-huh.
So how about design? Is that that's not web design necessarily? That's design.
You know, I don't do a web design per se. I mean, I do some flash,
right,
for like interactive corporate stuff. It's more like software training stuff. No, it's all pretty straightforward. It's very cut and dried. It's very corporate.
Right.
You know, very clean.
Pictures,
and words. You know, and I'll design like the next button or the back button, that kind of thing.
Oh, I see. So, how about animation? You were just mentioning that you're working on a Troy movie. Is that and I saw some of the trailers, or a trailer for Troy. That's what you were talking about, animation. Yes.
Yes. I've done a few things. Actually, I did a little series for Disney a few years ago.
Wow.
And it's all like online internet stuff. And a few years ago, I think it was like in 2005 at this point, I had some friends who were producers, and they were talking to me about, oh, maybe we'll do a Troy movie and stuff. And so I did like a little like 1 minute, you know, animated thing.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was very simple, and it ended up, you know, this company wanted to do like 10 minute shorts, but there wasn't any real money in it.
Yeah.
And then the problem was, you know, it's like, I got bills to pay, so, yeah.
It's funny because people do ask us, like, oh, why don't you do this? And, you know,
yeah,
and then
right.
we want it's... some of this, and then we want original content, and uh-huh. then, you know, if you could write this, you know, this piece about, and then they give you what they want you to write about, and but there's no money in it. I go, well, you know, this is how I make a living.
Yeah, exactly. And I really wanted to do it, but uh-huh. I just, and they, you know, the thing was, it's like, they said, well, you know, you'll do all the work, and we'll distribute it, and you'll get, like, you know, some percentage. And I was just like, no. I was like, but thank you, really. And so, you know, I had this script that I had written for it, and so I was just sort of, like, looking around, and I met with couple producers and a director a couple of years ago, and then the bottom dropped out of the economy, and it was just like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
So I was at a party last year, and I was actually talking to the guy who was going to do the Troy feature, and he says, well, why don't you do it as a short? And I was like, yeah, I can do that in my spare time when I'm not, you know, getting paid to work. So that's what I've been working on for, and it's taken me a little over a year now, and it is like this close to being done. Like, you have no idea how close we are. It's just like, I think there's like maybe 3 or 4 sound effects left to put in, and that's that. So,
and this is very labor exciting. Intensive. Yes.
Yeah, animation is. Yeah, it is a bit intensive because everything you see has got to be drawn, and like, I don't do anything on paper. It's all, you know, it's all computer graphics. It's all Illustrator and, you know, Photoshop and Flash and After Effects. But, you know, you still need to draw, like, every hand and every, you know, mouth and butt and you name it. If you see it, it has to be drawn. And, you know, this is just sort of like my little, you know, baby, so.
Right. And you want to make it the best
you can. Yeah, I've been trying to make everything as perfect as I possibly can and still get the thing done.
Good. One, and the last thing that is featured on dairy products is your voiceover. I listened, and they're marvelous. You have such a talent. Oh, my goodness. Talk to us in some of your voices. I'm putting you on the spot. I know that. I'm sorry. I love it.
A lot of the stuff that I was doing for voiceovers is like corporate kind of stuff, you know. So it's all just sort of like me reading, like, so next time we're going to talk about blah 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 blah. But when I was, you know, when I was younger, I was, you know, doing a lot of acting and improv and stuff, and so I took a little seminar. And got cast in some stuff, and so it's like really kind of fun when you can like really cut loose and do some like ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
So I think like most of like the goofy voices kind of come out of like doing bad impressions.
Well, I'm going to direct our audience to make sure to visit dairyproducts.com and get a load of your stuff because it's hysterical. I loved it.
Thank you.
Good. Listen, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time for today is up, and I'm just getting to know you. In fact,
well, that flew by.
I know, didn't it? When you're having a good time. So I want you to come back next week if you can tear yourself away from your comics.
I will try.
Oh, yay! because I would cry for a week if you didn't. Listen,
yeah, great.
And before you go, would you give us your website addresses and tell us just a little bit more about them if you have anything more to say, and we will be visiting you in cyberspace in the interim.
Well, it's troycomics.com, and that has everything you'll ever want to know about Troy, and you can read the back issues there, and you can buy a book, and you can go like me on Facebook.
Oh, yay, because I was going to ask you about
days.
That. Can't do
and
shit
then there's also,
Facebook.
Oh, I know.
Facebook,
but, yeah, and they keep changing the damn thing, but anyway. And then I have dairyproducts.com, and that's my, I guess, non-gay, more mainstream sort of silliness, and it's
cool.
D-E-R-R-Y products.com.
Cool beans. Alrighty then, so until next week, we will be seeing you in cyberspace. Thanks,
excellent.
Michael.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part 2 of my conversation with Michael Derry and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse? Well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn how to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice, this puppy will help you last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the endurance jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. Look for the Fleshlight and Fleshjack banner right there in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Visit them, buy one today, and you'll be happy. Speaking of sex toys, I want to make sure that you know about my adult product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You can even find our reviews of several Fleshlight products. You'll also find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.